The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosalind Ganyaglu.
In the headlines, limited voters registration ends with huge last-minute turnout. Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago in Accra for 4-day official visit. Injured armed robber escapes from Sunyang Government Hospital. And Greece's Parliament approves package of tax and pension reforms ahead of Eurozone Finance Ministers' meeting. The limited voter registration exercise has ended across the country, with Uganda's visit to some registration centers saw large turnout, which some registration officers attributed to the usual last-minute attitude of Ghanaians. Our correspondents report that at the Kanda and Accra Girls Senior High School registration centers, there was massive police presence to ensure order among the party's applicants.
The scenario at all the centers were long queues. Some of the applicants said they came to the center as early as 4 o'clock a.m. to queue for registration. According to them, the second phase of the registration has been very peaceful as compared to the first phase. Asking them what made it smooth, they explained that the EC has been more organized this time than the first phase, where they could spend hours in queue because the registration machines were faulty. But with the second phase, they have not encountered such problems. Some registration officers also attributed the long queues to the last-minute attitude of applicants. They noted that the process was also slow because some of the applicants came without any form of identification. The registration officers recommended that for future exercises, the EC should increase their education and also open more registration centers.
The process is how even we started. But I think the crowd is rather too, I don't think we can even be able to clear them all. Definitely we will leave some of them close. Whatever the executives of the EC or the decision making body of EC sees is what we're going to do. If they extend, then we'll come back. If no extension, maybe we won't come back. The number of people we are getting at this second center is more than what we had at the first center. The first center had a level of 200 for the 5 days. But here, so it's likely we even get either 500 or almost 500.
Some came around 4:30 and we started around 7. So they came in. Last days we registered 1:30. So all the time we are above the target. They should create more centers. That's all. That's my recommendation for the issue.
Some polling agents from the political parties said their experiences and challenges encountered from the start of the registration.
For the past 5 days, it's been the usual complaints concerning the machine. The number of people here, there are many. And we have just one machine, which is not making results move, like not moving very fast. You know, both parties, when they meet, there's some kind of agitation, this and that, people trying to push in their favorite and all that. So it's just something that we've been able to handle. We are just like one people. Normally, these things will happen elsewhere, but within the Zungu community, you don't manage like that. We understand each other. We know how to like kind of tackle our brothers, and later we can solve the issue. But it's normal.
No problem. Like we like if you to give us only 1 day, like it will happen for us. Because we and our elders decide that like we talk to if that is others 2 days or 1 day.
Those were some polling agents ending a report by our team of correspondents. We now go over to the regions where our regional correspondents will tell us what transpired at the end of the registration yesterday. Good morning to you, John Sam Arthur, reporting from Bunahafo. John Sam Arthur, can you hear me?
Yeah, Abraham, this is Kingsley.
Kingsley. Yeah, Kingsley, you are reporting from the central region. As of the end of the registration process yesterday, were all the applicants attended to?
Well, I will say that, yes, so far as my eye am concerned and where I visited, almost all of them were registered. That's at the time I was living there, perhaps around 3, 4, somewhere there. And there were not many people in the queue. They were just trickling in, especially at the University of Cape Coast Center. I must first of all put on record that 314 centers were open across the region, that is for the whole of Central Region. And when it comes to Cape Coast, there were 23 centers that were open. And as it has been the case, about 4 or 5 centers would be collapsed and made it one at a particular place. That was for the first phase. Second phase, they move it to different places. So at the end of it, or yesterday, for instance, around 3, I was speaking with the regional electoral officer, and he tells me that he was optimistic that looking at the way things were going, they will be able to register all. So during my round, UCC, for instance, were where we usually had some of the challenges. So I concentrated much on UCC, where there were 2 centers that were open. But as of 3 days ago, they had added another center because it was getting to the end of it, and students were rushing to register. So 3 days ago, they opened another center, making it 3 there. But at the time I was there around 3, the third center that was open was virtually vacant. Nobody was even there. So it was just the queue that was being used. So in all, it was quite successful. There were some challenges that came up, according to the electoral officers at the various polling stations. Some had to do with challenges that either polling agents raised or somebody else raised against some of the candidates. At the university, at JHS, where that is within the university, there were so many students that some of the polling agents raised concern about, although they were registered, but they were supposed to perhaps go there today and not there alone. Any other places that there were some few challenges, those people in question had to go to the center today for justification. At the same university, there was another group of people that came. They were not speaking any of our local dialects. They were speaking English, French, and English or so, and they were deemed to have come from Togo or something else. But of course, they were registered and also hoping that they go back today to justify why they think that they deserve to be given the voter register. But Abraham, one interesting thing, during my round 3 days ago, I happened to chance on a young lady who had just turned 18 and had just been registered. So I asked her whether, I congratulated her first and asked her whether she knew what it meant to hold the voter ID card. Interestingly, she tells me that yes, she was asked to come and register because when the sister sent her maybe money or something, they can use it or go to whatever. So I was really waiting for her to tell me perhaps we want to go and use it to vote. My dad was actually missing. That's quite interesting. And I had to take time and, of course, educate her as to the importance of that particular card. So virtually, people were just asked to go and register. But I believe that now that they have those cards, education will go on as to why they have those cards so that they will use it for the appropriate purpose.
Well, thank you very much, Kingsley. Nana will be reporting from the Central Region. We head to the midsection of the country where John Samasa is standing by in Bunoha. Good morning to you, Johnny.
Good morning.
Well, what were some of your observations on the last day of the limited registration?
Well, here in Bunoha, the last day turned out to be quite calm and peaceful because the second phase, you know, saw a rise in the numbers of people that, you know, took the opportunity to register. Just to illustrate, you know, during the first phase, in the first few days, there were few people trickling in. At some centers, maybe 9 people were registered on the first day. But on the first day of the second phase, some centers registered as much as 61 people. So the interest built up, you know, during the first phase and actually exploded in the second phase. So by the last day, most people had registered, and at most centers, it was just a few people trickling in. You know, there were 1 or 2 centers where there were small queues, maybe 7 people, 8 people early part of the day. But by a few minutes to, you know, the closing at 6 p.m., you know, most centers were virtually done with their job with their officers, you know, just getting ready to close down. Largely, it turned out to be very peaceful in most parts of the 428 centers that were opened across the region. Most of them turned out to be, I mean, very, very peaceful. There were a few trouble spots in 4 or 5 districts. Isunafu North, Isunafu South, Esitifi North, Esitifi South, and then the Time District. You know, there were some problems, but the police moved in and everything turned out fine. The region expected to register about 150,000 new voters, and I'm sure later in the day we're going to get the figures as to the total registration after the end of the exercise. But at the end of the first phase, close to 50,000 people had been registered in the region, and it's difficult to judge, but from the inquiries that I made at some centers, you find that more of the people coming forward to register were people turning 18, whilst at other centers, they were in the minority with people who, for one reason or another, could not register earlier, during earlier opportunities, who came to register now. And another interesting point was the fact that most people had difficulty in, you know, identifying themselves. I'm talking about the lack of ID cards for most of the people in the region. And so most of the people who were turning 18 had to use guarantors. You know, under the regulations, you had to present two voters to act as guarantors for you when you don't have a driver's license or a passport or any of the required identification, you know, cards. You know, so that is a very crucial point that we must, you know, watch out for, and probably the national ID card system must track. Yes.
There's a matter. It's rather unfortunate we do not have a lot of time, but we'll have some time to talk about the problems and other challenges that were experienced during the limited registration. But for now, I want to thank you for joining us from the Bunahafu region. We now head north, where Mohammed Fugu is standing by in the northern region. Good morning to you, Mohammed.
Good morning, Abraham.
Yes, what were some of the observations that were made during the last day of the limited registration?
Yeah, for the northern region, the limited registration exercise ended successfully, peace and calmly. In all, 391 registration centers were opened for the exercise. And I must say that the only issue to reckon with was the call for extension of the exercise, the registration exercise. This is because most people could not register, and with the attitude of Ghanaian's attitude at the last minute also was a major issue. So I must say that yesterday I visited several registration centers in the Tamale metropolis, and the first place I visited was the State Housing Corporation Registration Center, Balahe Primary School Center, Malia Registration Center, and California Anglican Primary School Center. And all the centers that I visited, at about 3 p.m., the queue was very, very large, and people were trooping in to vote. This is because the education was very, very low, and it was the last minute that people realized the relevance or the importance of acquiring a voter's register. ID card.
Mohammed, at the end of the day, were all the applicants served?
Yeah, but no, all the applicants were not served, because as of the time I was visiting the places, I must say that some registration centers, people were about 30 still queuing, and the normal challenges was also there. Some were not, their fingers were not picking up. So all this, I don't think that all of them were saved, because I couldn't stand there for everything to end. But I think that in all, it was okay. One major challenge too was that the exercise delayed a bit at most centers in the Chiriponi constituency. This is because yesterday there was a total blackout in most of the communities following a severe rainstorm that hit the area on Friday night. But the district election director was able to get a generator for the most of the centers to charge their laptops. So as of 10:30 a.m., the exercise kickoff. And I think that the call for the extension of the registration exercise is very, very important, because most people in that area could not were not saved. And especially in the remote villages too, getting them informed is very, very, very important, and most of them could not hear. I might also say that they are using the radio stations and other mediums to educate them. And when you look at northern region, for instance, it's only GBC Radio Savannah that gets into the remote villages. And normally it's very, very difficult for those in the villages to also understand the importance of registering.
Well, very well, Mohammed, we will have to leave it here for now. And thank you very much for joining us. From Mohammed Fugu is reporting from the northern region. We head down south to Micah Tulevu, who is in Kete Krachi in the Volta region. Good morning, Micah.
Good morning.
Well, Micah, what can you report, especially from the island communities along the Volta Lake?
Yes, the special issue over here is that about 40 people could not be registered by the close of day yesterday, just because where they are located, by the first phase, when the registration team was closer, they were not able to get there before they moved to the next. And when they have gathered themselves and moved to the next nearest center during the second phase of their registration, they said, no, they cannot register. I contacted the electoral officer in the district, and he confirmed that, yes, per their rules, you cannot register outside your designated registration center. So they could not cater for them. And when the election was over yesterday and I contacted him again, he said he'd be liaising with the authorities to see if there could be a mop-up exercise that can take care of them. That is the special issue. And the next concern also is the degree of challenge. Many people have been challenged on the ground of age, and these have been a concern. For example, at the end of the first phase, at the Cashew West, 1,148 people were registered, and out of these, 17 have been challenged. And at 5 p.m. yesterday, before they got closed, 1,229 were registered, and out of these, 41 were challenged. And these people are all mostly on the ground of age, and these have been their concern that they have to set up a panel to review their concern. But on going around with the regional minister, you could see most centers being calm, and also many people were trooping in, at least from other areas which are not so hinterland. But for the rural ones, this really has a challenge.
Well, Micah, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. Micah Tulevu is our Volta regional correspondent, precisely located in Kete Krachi. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: limited voters registration ends with a huge last-minute turnout. Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago in Accra for four-day official visit. Injured armed robber escapes from Sumerian government hospital. And Greece's parliament approves package of tax and pension reforms ahead of Eurozone finance ministers' meeting. Please stay with us. We're back shortly.
Deputy Prime Minister John Jinapo says the decision for government in choosing a concession agreement in the privatization of ECG was a tough one to take. He said though there were other available options for government, thorough analysis reveals that the concession agreement was the better option. Speaking on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point, Mr. Jinapo was emphatic that ECG is not for sale. He said the decision to allow private sector participation is to enhance the proficiency of the company. On perceived government interference in the operations of ECG, Mr. Jinapo said that cannot be true because the board of ECG has enough leverage to take decisions on its own.
We've been undertaking reforms, even at the generation subsector. We have deregulated it a bit. Gridco and VRA used to be one, with the decoupling, so that the generation sector is separate, the transmission sector is separate. And so we have been undertaking reforms. The private sector is participating actively in the generation subsector. Sumana Sovile is here, Kapawa is here, Ameri is here, Chiku is here. And so we believe that the time has come for us to also inject some private sector participation in the distribution subsector. So it's a decision that we have to take. It's a tough decision, but we believe that it is in the interest of the country. And that is why we are undergoing that process. Please then disabuse the minds of people that ECG is being sold. Let's get that clear. ECG is not being sold. If you sell your company, it means that you are divorcing your interest completely of the company. It's not being sold, and that should be clear. The boards are not considered based on political. Yes, the political system may appoint them, but they do so based on competence. We had the first board chairman, Dr. Chinjesi. He is somebody you cannot just fault as a board chairman. I serve on the board.
Are you saying that there's no governmental interference in the office?
No, what I'm saying is that the government constitutes the board, but whilst the political system may constitute the board, they do so taking into account competence.
Is the board not allowed to work on it?
The board is very independent. And you talk about the appointment of the MD. The board chairman wrote to the ministry after a meeting that the board is considered the current managing director and they find it fit. And as shareholder, if your board is appointing somebody, it's only proper that they inform you. That is what they did.
On government's debt to ECG, Mr. Jinapo said government has injected enough resources into the operations of ECG and therefore it must be up and doing. The chief executive of the Africa Center for Energy Policy, Dr. Amin Adams, said the problems of ECG have to do with political interferences, ECG's own internal problems and operational challenges which have to do with obsolete equipment. He however questioned why government has to choose the concession agreement instead of other options such as asset transfer, management contract or listing ECG on the Ghana Stock Exchange.
Government has decided to go private sector participation through what they call a concession agreement. A concession agreement involves a number of steps, that the state is the owner of the assets. The state leases its assets to a private sector participant or an investor. The investor will pay the state a fee, a lease fee, for using the asset. The investor will then invest, operate, and manage the asset, and they'll recover its investment through tax or profit. And so that is what the government has decided to do. Now, I don't know what the basis for choosing a concession agreement for the PSP in ECG. I don't know what the basis, because there are other forms. Why didn't we go for asset transfer? Why didn't we go for
asset transfer where we transfer our assets to the company that's the currency?
Yes.
And would that be the best one?
No, I'm looking at the various options.
Okay.
There's a third option of a management contract, because all the issues we are discussing about ECG are two, the management issues and then also the investment issues.
Mm.
But the investment issues, because the owner of the company is not investing in that company. Of course, government is challenged with so many demands, but where you want a utility company to operate and you are the owner and you don't capitalize that company, you don't inject resources in that company, there is no way you are going to see the level of operation or efficiency in that company.
Dr. Amin Adams is Executive Director of the Africa Center for Energy Policy. The Deputy General Secretary of the ECG, Michael Eduma Tanyantechi, said there is a need for reforms at ECG, but as to what form it should take is a problem. Mr. Nyantichi said high government debt and political interference are some of the problems that have affected the operations of the company.
What is not in dispute is the fact that there are needs for some reforms within ECG.
Exactly.
What is the vehicle that we are going to use is where the seemingly controversies have arisen. From the perspective of labor and workers in particular, we think that there are alternatives that will bring better results to Ghana than the concession approach. Why are you saying so? There have been some steady tours to some countries to look at the example of concession and those things. Frankly, so far we are yet to be convinced of a real success story in the case of a concession. But if you look at the challenges facing ECG, they are such that you can address these challenges, make ECG work, be efficient, be profitable, and a so-called credible off-taker of power, as the NCC Compact is to accomplish.
Those were views of our panelists on Talking Points, which discuss the private sector participation in the operations of the ECG.
The Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Dr. Keith Christopher Rowley, is in Ghana for a four-day visit at the invitation of President John Mahama. The visit is aimed at strengthening relations between the two countries. Dr. Rowley and his 12-member delegation will hold bilateral talks with President Mahama and members of cabinet, as well as meet with some Ghanaian businessmen. The Prime Minister will also lay a wreath at the tomb of George Padmore, a Trinidadian Pan-Africanist journalist and close ally of Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who died in Ghana after residing in the country for many years. The two heads of state will visit the Tama Oil Refinery and the Volta Aluminium Company, Valco, after a luncheon at the Flagstaff House. Thereafter, Dr. Rowley is scheduled to visit the Omina Castle and the Atobo gas plants. Ghana, Trinidad and Tobago relations dates as far back as the post-colonial era. That country is a leading Caribbean producer of oil and gas. It is therefore expected that the visit will offer Ghana the opportunity to tap into Trinidad and Tobago's rich oil and gas experience. It also offers an opportunity for discussions on other business prospects in the two countries.
The Bonohafu Regional Police Command is trying to unravel the circumstances under which a 21-year-old suspected armed robber, Kwaku Yeboah, who was under a 24-hour guard at the Sinyang Regional Hospital, managed to escape last Thursday. The command has thus given the police constable who was guarding the suspect, who is part of the operations unit, a 10-day ultimatum to find the suspected armed robber or face the full rigors of the rules and regulations of the Ghana Police Service.
Greece's parliament has passed a package of tax and pension reforms ahead of a crucial meeting of Eurozone finance ministers today. Controversial austerity measures could unlock more international bailout money for the country, allowing it to access a loan installment of 5 billion euros. Before the vote, protesters in Athens threw petrol bombs at the police, who responded with tear gas. Football. Accra Hearts of Oak are back to the top of the Ghana Premier League table after beating Brikum Chelsea 1-0 at the Golden City Park in Brikum. The match was a week 11 fixture. It was an instant recovery for the Phobians, who lost 0-1 to their fiercest rivals, Asante Kotoko last week in Accra. Striker Samuel Yeboah made the difference with a solitary strike to ease the pressure on coach Kenichi Yatuhashi. The Phobians are last overtaking WA All-Stars at the top of the table with 21 points after the WA-based club lost 3-1 to Techiman City at the Nana Meyer Park in Techiman. At the Nana Jumanbidu Park in Doma, Yahya Mohamed scored twice to raise his personal tally to 9 goals, overtaking Latif Blessing of Liberty Professionals as Ibiana Stars Hamed Dreams FC 4-0. Ibiana, which had a difficult start in the season, now lie third on the league table. And in Asante Kotoko also beat Ibusia Dwarfs 3-0 to whip up their ambitions. In other results, Azakes 3-0 DBRC 1. Ashgold 0, Bichem United 0, Wafa 0, Ntarala is 0. The match between Liberty Professionals and Medium SC was postponed because of Medium SC engagement in the CAF Confederations Cup. The Maludi Sundowns beat Medium SC 3-1 on Saturday in South Africa. The return encounter of the final playoff round will be played at the Sipon Stadium in Sekondi in a fortnight. Now to end the news and main points again. The limited voter registration has ended peacefully with a large turnout at registration centers. Registration officers attributed it to the last-minute attitude of Ghanaians. And the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Dr. Keith Christopher Rowley, is in Accra for a 4-day official visit. The visit is aimed at strengthening relations between the two countries. Whilst in Ghana, Dr. Rowley and his 12-member delegation will hold bilateral talks with President Mahama and also meet some Ghanaian businessmen. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosalind Ganyaglo in Accra.